7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back, and we are Pony Cake Sports, and we are live on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls. Guys, how's it going?
Fantastic. Another glorious day in the Pony Keg Studios.
Who am I to not introduce my other hosts here? We have none other than Tom Schultz and Tim Thompson. How is it going? That is a proper introduction.
I'm not going to repeat myself, but I'm doing okay.
You know what? I am going to just step up here for a second because this is our first night live here on WBLZ. I'm loving it. You can now listen to us live as it happens. No more cuts. No more Josh cutting out what I say. You get to hear all of the glorious words that come out of our mouths the second that we say it. I am very excited.
Awesome. Let's talk about what we have on tap for the show today. We have the Kansas City Chiefs that we're going to be talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit about fantasy in the second half of the show. We're going to go through our rankings for quarterbacks and for tight ends. And some people may be thinking that we're crazy for talking about fantasy football rankings so early. But you know what? You're idiots if you think that the fantasy rankings do not matter at this point in time.
It's too early. Josh, the fantasy football season starts next week. The Hall of Fame game is next Thursday. Do people not understand? Too early, we're talking about one of the biggest positions in football, quarterback, and their safety blanket, the tight end. You need to stick around and listen to what we're going to be breaking down here in the second half of our show. It is very important, and it will win you a fantasy football championship.
Well, let's go ahead and let's kick it off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, they ended up 12-4, first in the AFC West. Again, they were tied with Oakland with the same record. They ended up with 389 points for, 311 points against, pretty decent defense. Special teams was pretty stellar with Tyreek Hill coming out of nowhere as a rookie. And, yeah, they had a pretty good season overall. What did you guys think of their season last year?
You know, to be honest with you, there has not been a more, you know, they obviously had a fantastic record at 12-4, but I kind of equate the Kansas City Chiefs of last year to the mid-2000 Chicago Bears, as in you have a team with a fantastic defense, but the offense is just such vegetable lasagna that you just don't know what to, how do you get excited about a team like that? You know, I remember as a Chicago Bears fan, I loved them in the mid-2000s because you had, you know, the Devin Hesters of the world, or should I say Tyreek Hill. You had the defense. You had the Kansas City defense now. You had Alex Smith. And listen, Alex Smith and Rex Grossman are two totally different types of quarterbacks. But with that being said, very similar in the way of the excitement level of the team. No one's really, outside of the Kansas City Chiefs fans, no one else is going to get excited about the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's exactly how I equated the mid-2000 Chicago Bears.
Let's talk about some of the guys that they ended up letting go through the offseason. We have none other than Nile Davis, who I feel like he had six teams last year. We have Jamal Charles, who left the team. He went to the Denver Broncos, one-year deal there. DeAndre Poe, he ends up going to the Atlanta Falcons, one-year deal. Nick Foles ends up leaving, going back to the Eagles for a two-year deal, $11 million. And then one, Jeremy Maclin, leaving there, going to the Baltimore Ravens. So interesting offseason, especially with Maclin being their go-to guy, I guess, number one guy last year, even though he was hurt for a portion of it. And we did see Tyreek Hill do a little bit of something-something. I just thought it was very shocking to see them let go their leading wide receiver right there.
They lost a lot of talent in this offseason. That was primarily because how they've been making contracts. The Dontari Poe, in my eyes, is one of the bigger losses for this team. He's been a staple playing at the nose for this team, helping them plug up the rushing lanes, and it's one of the most important parts of that 3-4 defense that they run. They have replaced him, but I don't think Benny Logan, we'll be talking about him in a second, is as good as Poe can be. And Maclin, I think everyone was kind of shocked at that. Really didn't address the wide receiver position a lot in the draft and losing him, even though he wasn't that good last season, it says a lot of what they believe Tyreek Hill is.
Yeah, when Mecklen basically was sent packing, I think a lot more people, and we'll kind of, we won't talk about it this episode, but we'll talk about it later on with wide receivers when we do the wide receiver rankings. I think people were more interested to see where Mecklen goes because I thought he was that big of a part of this offense. So
Mecklen's a huge part of this offense. Like you said, it's not a huge passing team, but Alex Smith has come into this and made the most of a kind of just whatever situation, right? I mean, and obviously even, you know, they lost Jamaal Charles, which, again, not a huge loss. He's been injured all the time. They lost him, and they lost Jeremy Mecklen. But those are two pretty valuable assets and two things that Alex Smith has been comfortable with since being in Kansas City. Now, Alex Smith is the quarterback that is just even par, right? He's going to continue and just be – he's going to be who he is. 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. It's kind of what you expect from an Alex Smith. Mid-level touchdowns, mid-level interceptions. A game manager to a T. Tom, I could not agree more with your evaluation on losing Poe. That defense is fantastic. But losing someone like Poe, that's a pretty dramatic loss. This is a team that was 6-0 in the division last year, and why, you know, that 12-4 record was possible. I don't think that with the talent that they lost, it's easy to say that, you know, you have positions to be filled and you have guys who can step up and somewhat fill that role. But with the talent that they lost, along with the names that they lost, locker room type guys that they lost, that 12-4 record with as tough of a division that that's going to be, the Los Angeles Chargers are not going to be 5-11 next year. It's going to be extremely difficult for the Chiefs to be 12-4.
Let's talk about some of the guys that they gained during the offseason. We have none other than Jarvis Jenkins. He re-signs. Michael Person, he re-signs guard. We have Gavin Escobar, the rarely used tight end, coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. 1-year deal there. CJ Spiller, of all players, coming over, 1-year deal. And then the guy that you alluded to earlier, Tom, Benny Logan, defensive tackle, over from the Eagles, $1 million deal.
Yeah, that was their biggest signing, the Benny Logan. They needed to address that nose tackle position. It was weak in the draft, and they knew they didn't have the cap space to re-sign Poe. But kind of uneventful free agency, in all honesty, for the Chiefs.
Is a guy like Benny Logan the type of guy who's going to come over and just, due to the system alone, is going to overachieve and really stretch out that $8 million that the Chiefs spent over 1 year? Or are they going to really end up regretting losing Poe in the offseason?
Yeah, I think Tom hit the nail on the head. I think they're going to regret losing Poe, and I feel like they're going to hurt because of it.
I don't know if he's going to have the same – I take that back. He's not going to have the same production as Poe did for them. With that being said, he is a feasible enough option where he's not low-end. With that secondary, with everything they have to back him up, he's still going to put up some fantastic numbers, and I believe that the money that they spent is money much deserved, and he's going to go out there and have a great year for them.
All right, let's talk about some of the other guys that will make an impact on the year. And it's through the 2017 NFL Draft. Tom, let's kick it off.
It's not too often that a 12-4 team who's coming off a division title trades up in the first round to select a quarterback. That's exactly what the Chiefs did when they selected quarterback Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. Man, this kid is a lot of fun to watch. He's big-time arm, can make any throw that a coach is asking him to make. Got better each year at Texas Tech, kind of a little bit of Matthew Stafford in him, tons of different arm angles and motions to his throws. But Andy Reid is going to have his work cut out for him. Mahomes has terrible footwork, he's super inconsistent with his mechanics, and played in a spread system at Texas Tech. He is the definition of a high-ceiling boomer bust pick at the quarterback spot.
So I truly believe that if it were not for the Chicago Bears giving away as much as they did to move up one spot, the Kansas City Chiefs would be being absolutely torched for what they gave up for a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion, to say he is a project, I believe is a bit of an understatement. He has a lot of work. He reminds me so much of Jay Cutler. It's not even funny. And I'm not trying to make this all about the Chicago Bears, but just his arm strength combined with the way he throws off of his back foot, the way that he scrambles and tries to make that big play downfield. I'm not saying he's not exciting to watch, but I don't really know how Andy Reid plans on bringing him along. I mean, you heard Alex Smith this offseason bring up how he feels like it's a very similar situation as it was in San Francisco, which I think spells a terrible disaster for the Chiefs. That, I mean, you're having your starting quarterback feel that way. And number two, who is Patrick Mahomes learning from? It's a night and day style quarterback. You can't have a gunslinger learning from a game manager. It doesn't add up. And I mean, you know, I know what, you know, Chiefs fans will say, well, he'll try to have Smith bring Mahomes down and teach him the basics. Alex Smith isn't a good enough quarterback to teach someone to the caliber of talent that Patrick Mahomes has the potential to be. And that's the issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's so many pros and there's so many cons with Mahomes. It's just, he's a gunslinger. He's got bad footwork. He's got this. He's got that. But, man, the kid can put up some points. He had 50 touchdowns, I believe, last year, over 4,500 yards passing. The kid can run as well. He's not the most agile, the most mobile quarterback, but he can run out of the pocket and still throw a pretty decent ball. His dad was a big league pitcher. He's got a super strong arm, and he's got like that. He's got that size. He's 6'2", 225 pounds. He's a big quarterback, and it, like you said, the Chiefs would have probably been roasted over this pick, but the Saints were the team that really wanted Mahomes. There were rumors about, I forgot who it was, the golfer that was in the war room, and he put on Twitter that the Saints really wanted Mahomes, and then the Chiefs ended up moving up. And I feel like you said, they would be getting roasted over this if the Bears did not do what they did to move up that one spot.
My concern for them is, so even if, in my eyes, and you know, in my humble opinion, Patrick Mahomes is 3 to 4 years away from being a starter in the NFL. I feel like any sooner, it's a big rush and you're asking for a, you know, 30 touchdown, 25 interception type of guy. They have a lot of work to do at the wide receiver position in the meantime. They have literally no one to throw to right now. They have nobody. Tyreek Hill is a special type of option, but he's not that big, you know, wide receiver. They have Travis Kelce, who's obviously their safety blanket, and so when I say that they had no one to throw to, I should just specify that I meant in the wide receiver position. But they need to build something at wide receiver, and with what they gave up, they're 2 years away from even being able to do that.
Yeah, their other wide receivers, I believe, Chris Conley and Albert Wilson. That's it.
I mean, that you can't feel comfortable. You can't tell me that you're going to feel comfortable bringing in a rookie quarterback next year or the end of this year and giving him those options. You have Travis Kelce, which is a great safety blanket, and you have Tyreek Hill, which is kind of a is-what-it-is type guy, but I don't like how much they had to give up for someone that is as much as a project as
Mahomes.
As Patrick Mahomes, thank you.
What the Chiefs need to do with him, in all honesty, definitely redshirt him this year and put him under center taking snaps the whole season. Don't line him up in shotgun once, because we could probably count how many times he's lined up under center on one hand in his whole career, probably high school and college. Never did it. Total spread system quarterback. I really think the Chiefs are planning on him playing next year, though, in all honesty.
Well, but that's the biggest concern, and this is another reason I hate it so much. And again, not to compare him to the Chicago Bears, but the Chicago Bears have a plan, ideally, that Mitchell Trubisky is not going to play at all, and if he is, it's going to be sometime in the last four games of the season, right? They have quarterbacks in place to make sure that that happens. And as much as I hate my team, I respect that they have it set up that way. Patrick Mahomes II is the number two quarterback right now in Kansas City. That's scary. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I am scared. And if Alex Smith goes down, you can go from being a 12-4 team to a 5-11 team in a heartbeat.
I think the selection of Mahomes is a lot of it's a lot of faith in Andy Reid into developing quarterbacks. We've seen him in the past, what he's done with the likes of Nick Foles. He's made Alex Smith a better quarterback. Around the league, people consider him a quarterback whisperer. He's very good at developing quarterbacks, and they obviously have faith in him doing that with Mahomes as well.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I never understood why anyone considers him a quarterback whisperer. I literally have no idea what work he has done to be given that title.
He was with Green Bay when they got Favre,
right.
Donovan McNabb.
But Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Brett Favre is that quarterback.
What was he like his rookie year, though? A lot of people that have inside knowledge say that Andy Reid thinks of Patrick Mahomes as a Brett Favre-like kid. And I could see it. Look at their early film of Brett Favre. Look at the dumb passes he made, the type of arm strength he has. And that's exactly what Patrick Mahomes says. But let me tell
you, Andy Reid gets credit for Brett Favre. And so Mike Holmgren gets credit for Brett Favre. Multiple people get credit for Brett Favre. You know who gets credit for Brett Favre? Brett Favre. Who else has Andy Reid brought along? Donovan McNabb. Donovan McNabb was who he was. Nothing changed in Donovan McNabb's game. Nick Foles, I mean, I don't know. Alex Smith, you're going to give him credit for Alex Smith? Alex Smith has been that same quarterback since he came into the league.
He's been a Pro Bowler under Andy Reid, though.
After how many people dropped out of the Pro Bowl. Give me a break. That's not a realistic stat. Andy Reid.
Pro Bowl is the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. It's not. No, it's not. Andy Reid is more of a game manager coach. He has a defensive mind as well in there. I've never understood why he gets the quarterback whisper notion to his credit.
In all honesty, who do you guys have more faith in developing these young quarterbacks, Andy Reid or the Bears?
Well, to be honest, if I have to pick between Patrick Mahomes or Mitchell Trubisky of who will have the better career, I don't care who's the. I would pick Mitchell Trubisky, hands down. Listen, and this is not being a Bears fan. I promise you, Patrick Mahomes has a ton of work and needs to have a ton of just things fall into place naturally that no one can predict. Just because of how he has been brought up as a quarterback through high school and college and what his natural talents and abilities are. He is naturally a terrible passer. He has a strong arm, but he is naturally a terrible passer. If you watch him pass, it looks like a game of Madden because he's just running on the back foot, on angles. It's disgusting for anyone who likes mechanics.
I look at Mahomes as this. There's like three different versions we could see him as. We could see him as a Brett Favre type player. We could see him as a Jay Cutler type player. And we could see him a Blake Bortles type player. So those are the three stages where I see him at. And I really hope we don't see him at that bottom one. The Jay Cutler one, I feel like you can get away with. And then, you know, if he ends up turning into that Brett Favre caliber player, then awesome.
Josh, I agree with you completely. If I had to say who's more likely to be a successful quarterback, I would say Mitchell Trubisky. If I had to say who has a much higher ceiling and could be a Pro Bowler slash future Hall of Famer, I would say Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
The Chiefs took a huge risk with their Patrick Mahomes selection. And in my eyes, they took another big-time risk with their second-round selection of defensive lineman Tano Passanio from Villanova. He's a big boy, 6'7", close to 300 pounds. Dude's cut up for a man of that size. If you look at him, he's extremely physically intimidating. Didn't play the best competition at Nova, but he did dominate the competition. That is exactly what you want when you are drafting a player who plays at lower level of competition. This kid is he's a stud, though. And you watch the Senior Bowl, he did pretty well going against the D1 talent. And he's got that size, that prototypical length that you're looking for a defensive lineman in a 3-4 scheme. He's got all the physical gifts you're looking for in a defensive lineman. I'm a little worried about his pass rushing, though. In college, pretty much relied on his uber strength and dominant size just to run bulldoze people, in all honesty. Didn't really have much of a pass rushing tool belt to him, but he's another high-ceiling boomer bust pick.
I agree completely. Like you said, Tom, it's more of just getting by on natural talent and brute strength through his college career than actual technique, and that's what he's going to have to learn. You know, again, and I keep using this term, but he's a Madden guy, a monster. When you build your Madden character, you build them like Tano. You build them that size, and you just bull rush, and they're naturally able to get by people. It's not how it necessarily translates to the NFL. Another high upside, but a ton of work that's going to have to go in order for him to be a, you know, an effective defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a project player.
Oh, yeah.
You look at him, huge as hell, monstrous. But, he's total project, and we'll have to see where they go from there, you know? You had to make some additions to the defensive line, and they did, and we'll see where they go from there. But he's big, and that's all that really matters right now.
The Chiefs finished 15th in the league rushing last season. It's not good enough for the type of football that the Chiefs like to play, and especially with a quarterback like Alex Smith. Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West are serviceable running backs, but I think they proved that they can't be elite bell cow running backs, and that's what Andy Reid likes to have. The Chiefs selected running back Kareem Hunt from Toledo with the 86th pick, hoping that he can become that new elite running back. He's a small school kid, but he dominated the competition, dominated at the Senior Bowl. Kind of weird, though. Fluctuated during the season, listed at 230. At the Senior Bowl, weighed in at like 208. So it'll be interesting which weight he plays at in the NFL. This kid has great vision, very low to the ground, that bowling ball type of running back, very reliable, didn't miss much time, and he fits the scheme well, good pass-catching running back, and he's got a chance to take over this backfield in my eyes. I don't think it'll be right away, but he's got that chance.
This very well could be, and in my opinion, is the best pick of the Kansas City Chiefs draft. I feel like if the Chiefs utilize Kareem Hunt with Tyreek Hill, combine the two and make a bunch of special packages for both of them to be on the field at the same time, that they could have an extremely dynamic, scary combo right there. Kareem Hunt has the ability to be I don't know if he's necessarily a three-down back, but to be a two-and-a-half-down back. The closest thing to that. In the new NFL, he's the type of running back that I would want on my team. I love this pick. I love combining him with Tyreek Hill, and I feel like adding the Hunt and Hill are the type of guys I want to have in the backfield / on the wings when I'm bringing along a young quarterback. So I love this pick.
They kept talking up Spencer Ware in the offseason, saying he's the guy. You didn't have to worry about anything, and then Jamal Charles left, and they still said Spencer Ware is the guy. Over and over again, they end up drafting Kareem Hunt here, and I'm not a huge fan of Kareem Hunt, so I could be completely wrong, but I don't think he is the answer. I think he's going to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield because he can do that very well. I know a lot of other people that we've talked to really have him penciled in as that number one running back for the Chiefs, but I don't think there's any way by week one rolls around that you're going to see Kareem Hunt as the starting running back for the Chiefs. Maybe mid-season, but I don't think you're going to see him as the starter. If the Chiefs are having a bad year, we're going to see Kareem Hunt and maybe Patrick Mahomes out there, and then we'll see what happens.
In the fourth round, the Chiefs added another weapon for Alex Smith, wide receiver Jonnu Chesson from Michigan, 6'3", 205 pounds. He had a serious knee injury that limited him in play time in 2016, but his 2015 tape was pretty good. Very good run-blocking wide receiver. Kansas City loves to run the football, so they need wide receivers out there who enjoy and excel at that part of the game. Smart pick, though, in my eyes, especially since the draft, Jeremy Maclin has been released. They need more bodies out there at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, it's a body play, right? That's it. You hope, like you said, he had those injuries. You hope he's able to come in, prove something, and be in a steal of a pick. That's about it.
Yeah, you need somebody to replace Maclin's numbers, and that guy was not currently on your team, and you had to go out and try to draft somebody to put up some decent numbers. And, you know, hopefully Chesson is the guy. it's going to be a tough season, I think, for the Chiefs this year. You look at the lack of I don't want to say the lack of wanting Alex Smith to be the quarterback, or, you know, lack of respect towards him, but they go out and they get Mahomes, and then, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face to Spencer Ware and Ja'Kendrick West, and they go out and get a running back now, and now they let your number one wide receiver go, and now you're going to try to replace him with Tyreek Hill and a little bit of chess in here. So it's I expect a down year for the Chiefs, and I think they're just trying to plug as many people in there as they can.
I just think of Kings of Leon, and I imagine Andy Reid. I wish there was a cartoon made that he wants to use somebody, someone like you.
The Chiefs needed some help at the inside backer. We all saw how that defense fell apart when Derek Johnson got injured at the end of last season. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. Teams were able to run all over them. Watch that playoff game against the Steelers, and Le'Veon Bell just torched them. He torched most teams, but the Chiefs, they were dominant when Johnson was available. They needed to get a reliable backup, and I think they got that with Ukeme Eligwe. He's a big-time recruit coming to Florida State, but he got kicked off the team for personal issues. He finished his career at Georgia Southern. He'll be a special teams fit right away. Very good athlete, underrated performer, and this kid's going to be a player, especially if we can get his head straight.
I'm not sure. Do you, and Tom, I apologize if you don't. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Do you know why he got kicked off of the team or no? I honestly don't know. I'm just asking.
I believe it was labeled as team issues.
Okay, so I mean, he's not out there, you know, selling heroin or anything like that. It's team issues.
Could have been.
Okay. Well,
Florida State, man.
Well, that's a good point. No, normally Florida State's cocaine, but nevertheless, you know, it's a guy who potentially has the abilities to fill a role. It seems like the theme of the Chiefs draft were extreme high ceiling guys, not necessarily guarantees, but high ceiling guys. Pretty much every position in this draft, they drafted someone who could potentially be a starter in 2 to 3 years, or they could bust out and be cut from the team this year. So they continue with the trend. Don't love it, don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't really have one thing really to say about this guy too much. I mean, I know that he's a good blitzer, and he can force fumbles, but, you know, the Chiefs are just plugging people in right now.
The Chiefs have been pretty notorious at taking risks on guys. 2 years ago, Marcus Peters, a lot of people said he was a complete headache.
Never heard of him.
You're an idiot. He's an absolute stud corner. And then last year in the fifth round, they got Mr. Tyreek Hill, who, not a very good person, but ended up being a Pro Bowl type player. So this could be their version of those two guys this year. With the final pick for the Chiefs, they drafted defensive back Leon McQuay in the sixth round. Sub-package player, athletic kid, pretty good ball skills. He'll play that hybrid safety role in nickel and dime situations. Special teams kid.
Yeah, I mean, they have a kid who, you know, when you think of safety in the NFL, you know, he has that size. He has that ability to potentially be there, but, you know, can he learn from the studs that they already have existing? If he can, he might be around there for a while. But like Tom said, as of right now, best case scenario, he's looking to be a special teams guy.
Oh yeah, special teams guy to the T, and just hopefully he can make tackles when he needs to. That'll be the biggest thing. Anything else about the draft? How'd you guys like their draft?
I to be honest, I did not like it.
I didn't like it either.
I this is probably one of my first Fs.
Wow. An F.
I didn't just not like it. I hated it.
Why? Because of everything?
They had their losses in the offseason. They did nothing to improve it. And through the draft. They did nothing. I hate the Patrick Mahomes pick for what they gave up. I feel like that's something that they are going to regret for the next 5 years.
I don't want to say I kind of agree with that, because I think Mahomes can be a special player. But at the same time, like, if they have the season that I think they're going to have this year, which is not a very bad one, but a not so good season, they could have waited for quarterback this next draft coming up and got one of those top three or top four quarterbacks that I think that are going to be probably better than most of these quarterbacks drafted in this draft class.
Yeah, I'm going to give them an F. This is the second team I've given an F to. The other was the Bears, because They traded up for a quarterback who I really don't think they needed at this time, but sometimes you got to think ahead. But the Passanio pick, that's a round too early for me. I had a third round, early fourth round grade on him, getting him in the second for a guy who might not play that much this year, who might not be ready. Kareem Hunt, I do like that pick. And then kind of just a lot of, yeah, it's like nothing special. And losing the first round pick next year is going to hurt. I think the Chiefs are going to struggle this year, and I don't think they're going to be close to 12-4.
I feel like they could have done something either on the, you know, listen, it's a team that likes to take risks, right? So with their late first-round pick, if they were going to draft running back or even the first or second, take a Joe Mixon. Take a wide receiver in the first round. They take that quarterback. That quarterback move, I just feel like, and I know this is the guy that went very last in the whole NFL draft, but if they wait and they take a Chad Kelly in the fifth round, I love that for the Kansas City Chiefs. I love that. That's someone who I think that they can bring along that already has all the intangibles, and he's someone who could be ready in a year or two. Well,
let me ask you this. If they kept their first round pick and they ended up not trading up to get Patrick Mahomes, and say they went with a wide receiver like you mentioned, what if they went with a Zay Jones? How would you have liked that for the team and Zay Jones in general?
I would have absolutely loved that
for them. Yep.
In all honesty. Even, like, Tim brought up the Mixon. Oh, that would have been perfect for them. In their scheme, just that versatile running back who could do it all, who can carry the load, something that they don't have on the roster right now. They might have it with Kareem Hunt, but definitely not with West and Ware right now.
Everything's 50-50 hindsight, but in my head, they literally could have gone with picks 1-3, Zay Jones, Joe Mixon, Chad Kelly. And if I'm a Chiefs fan, I am smitten.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of, character potential guys, but they have that anyway with the people that they drafted, and they have a lot less talent with the people that they drafted.
Well, yeah, they could have waited to the sixth round to get Chad Kelly, but I like Chad Kelly. We talked about it in a previous episode that we did, and I like Chad Kelly a lot, but taking him that early, obviously, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but that wouldn't have happened, but I do get it. I would have rather had a Chad Kelly later in the draft compared to moving up that early for an unknown anything, you know?
The linebackers that they could have gotten in the third round were far superior than what they ended up getting. I mean, any safeties that they may have wanted to take, you know, in the third round, in my opinion, were superior. They could have set themselves up better, if they, taking a Jordan Lewis out of Michigan at the cornerback position, or there were new Tankersley was still there. From Clemson that the Dolphins took. There were people there that they could have taken in the third round if they would have played out the beginning. And I just feel like the reason I gave them an F, and I believe that this is my first F of the whole year, they not only screwed themselves this year with their draft, but they screwed themselves for next year and beyond.
I feel like with that Passanio pick, they could have went with Juju Smith-Schuster there.
Yeah.
If you knew that Macklin wasn't going to be there, you need a wide receiver. That would have made a lot more sense right there, especially in the second round. I believe you win a couple picks after the Chiefs pick there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could say, again, like you said, 50-50 hindsight, whatever. You could say anything that you want to do now, but they had options, and we'll see where they go from here. I thought it was an interesting draft. They took guys that I don't think are going to really be that big of a deal this year. They looked for the future, and because of that, I'll give them a D, but D plus.
Yeah, I just think it's blatantly obvious that they just admitted to themselves that Alex Smith cannot win them a Super Bowl, and that's why they traded up to get Mahomes.
Yep. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about fantasy with the Kansas City Chiefs. Go ahead, kick it off, Tim.
So fantasy football, as much as I've just said, I don't necessarily agree with the Kansas City Chiefs draft. Also wouldn't be surprised if their starting quarterback right now gets less fantasy points than the rookie that they just drafted. I don't see it happening, but Alex Smith he's just kind of that meh type quarterback. 3,500 yards, meh. 15 touchdowns, meh. 8 interceptions? Okay, that seems all right. 258 fantasy points. He's just there, guys. It's just, he is what he is. Game manager style quarterback. And I'm sorry, 224 fantasy points. That's standard fantasy football quarterback. I don't know. I don't think I would ever start Alex Smith unless half of my team were dead and there were no quarterbacks on the waiver wire.
He's pretty much just captain checkdown as one of the lower averages on passing yardage per play, and it's just nothing really sexy with this team. They're extremely conservative all around. I don't think Andy Reid really wants to be like that, but he understands that Alex Smith is not that quarterback that can go out, get you 300 yards a game, 3 touchdowns. He's just not that player. He is smart, though. He doesn't turn the football over a lot, and he does get a lot of rushing touchdowns. He had 5 last year, 134 rushing yards. So that is something that helps him quite a bit. But when you're a quarterback averaging 14 points a game, you can't be starting that consistently unless you're in a 2-quarterback league. And even in that case, in a PPR league, most receivers are scoring more than that. Same with running back. So it might not even be worth starting him at your super flex position.
Yeah, he finished 21st ranked quarterback last year. He's going as the 25th ranked quarterback in fantasy right now. And, you know, he's going over some of the guys like Sam Bradford and Jared Goff. And, you know, nothing much else after that. Him and actually Mahomes are actually pretty close in rankings for the most part. He's pretty much the bottom of the barrel for quarterbacks if you're absolutely looking on a bye. And even if it was like a bye week, I still wouldn't feel super comfortable starting Alex Smith. I'd rather go out and pick up a Tyrod Taylor, or if Deshaun Watson is starting for Houston, I'd rather go out and pick up Deshaun Watson for a bye week filler if need be. But if anybody's relying on Alex Smith to be your starting quarterback for fantasy, shame on you.
Yeah, you're definitely not listening to the Pony Keg Sports Podcast if you are relying on one Alex Smith, someone who has not had 3 touchdowns in a game in a long, long time. So definitely not someone that I would be looking at for a fantasy quarterback. Moving on, a position that is very interesting for the Kansas City Chiefs is the running back position. They obviously have Spencer Ware. They have Charcandrick West. And they added Kareem Hunt, which a lot of people are thinking is going to be a impact player on the offensive side of the ball. And they still do have C.J. Spiller, who I'm not sure is going to make the team, honestly, but you never know. I like Spencer Ware this year. Last year, you know, a hair over 200 rushing attempts, over 900 yards. Only 3 rushing touchdowns, added a couple receiving touchdowns. But he does have the opportunity to be a big player, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
It's a pretty cool story with Spencer Ware. It's hard not to root for this guy. He was drafted as a fullback originally, and he's kind of flourished under this Andy Reid system. Andy Reid's been notorious for producing excellent fantasy running backs. Look at Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles. All 3 of those guys flourish under Andy Reid. I just don't think Spencer Ware is that back to be the full-time guy. Look, he missed close to parts of 4 games, including 2 total games last season due to injuries. He's really never been the guy. Last year was his first chance at being it, and he wasn't close to that 300 total rushing attempts that you want for a bell cow running back. And I don't think he's going to be that bell cow running back for this team. At the beginning of the year, he's going to be the guy to own. But if you are drafting Spencer Ware, I would be trying my hardest to draft Kareem Hunt as well to handcuff them. And then you're probably looking okay, and it's probably going to be a safer bet than just going alone with Spencer Ware.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow if you draft Spencer Ware, because I think that Kareem Hunt hype is always lingering, right? They go out and they draft him early in the draft, and like you said, Spencer Ware has one of the coolest stories for a running back. Drafted in 13, 6th-round pick. He ends up getting cut from the team, doesn't even play in 2014, goes to Kansas City, and, you know, he's been doing well ever since, and it's tough for me to think that Kansas City is going to talk him up and talk him up and talk him up and then go out and draft a running back and then still talk him up and then say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry you just lost your job. I cannot see it happen. I think Spencer Ware is going to be the guy in that offense, but still I would be looking for Kareem Hunt later on in drafts as well. And what's Spencer Ware going off?
He's going like the fifth round.
Fifth round. And I can live with that if I'm looking for a running back two, you know, type deal. I can deal with that with Spencer Ware.
Then you could get Kareem Hunt in the 10th. So it's definitely viable that you can get both of those guys and really not hamper your roster overall.
And who knows, with the draft coming up sooner and sooner and the preseason's coming up, we probably won't see a ton of Spencer Ware. He's coming off of injury still. We're going to probably see Hunt out there, and we could actually see their ADPs almost not merging completely, but we could see Spencer Ware drop around, and we could see Hunt move up a round or two.
I am going to put my very first ever barbed wire pick, stay away from, do not touch, Spencer Ware going into this season. Someone who you already mentioned has the potential to lose his starting job. He is not healthy enough. He's not going to play a lot during the preseason. He is prone to getting this job stolen from him, in my opinion. It's a prime time for someone like him to lose his job. You don't know what the quarterback's going to bring. I don't like Spencer Ware this year. I believe I got him from you in our Dynasty Keepers League, Josh, strictly because I knew someone else wanted him, made that trade, got it, and flipped him. But if I am drafting in a redraft league, I am not having Spencer Ware as one of my two starting running backs. I feel like it's extremely, extremely dangerous, and it might be a damn, why did I take that guy situation.
Would you feel more comfortable taking Spencer Ware if you knew you could get Kareem Hunt in the 9th or 10th round?
Honestly, no. With the fact that, listen, I don't know. Obviously, Tyreek Hill had a monster breakout year for the Chiefs last year, right? That's a no-brainer. What's he going to be this year? And on top of that, they have no, obviously they have Travis Kelce, they have no downfield threat. At least with Jeremy Maclin, even with how ineffective he was at times for them, they had someone for them to focus on. They have no wide receivers whatsoever. Any team, especially with how good those defenses are in the AFC West, you can't tell me that if I'm a team, I'm loading 7 in the box and having someone just watch over the top of Tyreek Hill. That's the only thing you have to worry about. And Travis Kelce.
Two guys that are being drafted pretty much the same exact spot, Spencer Ware and Dalvin Cook. Out of those two, who would you rather have?
Dalvin Cook all day long, especially with it coming out that layabouts Murray's, I believe, starting at least the training camp and preseason here on the pup list.
Yep.
I'm not sure how far that it has to go into the season. But 100% Dalvin Cook. Listen, I will take character issues over actual physical attribute issues. And Dalvin Cook, I don't care what any, you watch his tape in college, he has the potential to be a very talented back.
For me, as much as I love Dalvin Cook and love his potential, I have seen what that Minnesota backfield can be. Look at last year. They were splitting carries with McKinnon and Asiata. It was pretty ugly. But we've seen the Chiefs, when they have two running backs splitting carries, one of them can still be productive. And when's the last time you saw an Andy Reid's offense where he didn't have a guy finish in the top 20? I for me, it would be safer to draft Spencer Ware in the 5th than get Kareem Hunt in the 10th. And I would feel better about my team overall.
Yeah, the Chiefs' offense can't run with a real running back when they don't have one. Or, I'm sorry, the Vikings' offense. They had McKinnon and Asiata, but neither of them are the caliber of one Dalvin Cook. Let's face facts here. I mean, you guys scream all the time about how character issues have killed Joe Mixon. Take character issues out of it. Dalvin Cook is a first-round pick.
Yep.
Potentially a top 10 pick. He's that talented. If he straightens himself out, which, I mean, listen, there's nothing to do in Minnesota. So hopefully he does. He has the ability to go in there and absolutely dominate the carries on that offensive side of the ball. It was still me because it's the fantasy time. Sorry, guys. I was on my pedestal. Let's move to the wide receiver core. which is non-existent. Honestly, I most times...
Which is non-existent.
I mean, there's one guy to talk about here, and that is one Tyreek Hill. And it's funny because, you know, we say he's a wide receiver, but, you know, a third of his fantasy production was at the running back spot. He had 61 receptions for a hair under 600 yards and 6 touchdowns. Also had just over 250 rushing yards for 3 touchdowns with only 24 rushes. So that's the big part there that I think is needs to be looked at. He also had a fumble and had, I believe, 3 special teams touchdowns as well. So 12 touchdowns all day. A huge fantasy asset, but any defense has to be looking right at the eyes of Tyreek Hill and pretty much nothing else. If I am any team facing the Kansas City Chiefs, I am saying, hey, let anybody else except for Tyreek Hill beat me. So has almost that Devin Hester factor, right? Where every year I'm not going to, you know, is he a special team guy? Is he not? I don't know. He won't be end up on any of my teams, but a very interesting guy nonetheless.
It's definitely an interesting wide receiver core. It might be one of the worst in the league. Like, if they didn't have Tyreek Hill, it probably would be the worst in the league. But Tyreek Hill, dude could score a touchdown pretty much any time he touches the football. But how? I just don't know if he can keep up with that pace. Look, 24 rushes, 267 yards. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue to do that. Tim, you brought up that. That's a big chunk of his production last year. He only had 600 or close to 600 receiving yards. I'm nervous about them overall. I really think this was only going to catapult their tight ends and their running backs receiving values up, since they really don't have anything else. And it might look like a couple years ago when Alex Smith didn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver. It might be that ugly this year for the Chiefs.
And all I gotta say is somebody has to replace Jeremy Maclin's 76 targets, 44 yeah. catches, 536 yards, and 2 touchdowns in only 11 games last year. He missed, 5 games and had the bye week. So missed a good amount of time. Somebody's got to replace that. And yeah. I don't think it's going to be all Tyreek Hill. I don't know which wide receiver it is. If I had to take a guess, I would have to say Chris Conley will have to step up and do something, but I'm not going to say that Chris Conley is going to be a 1,000-yard wide receiver, a 10-touchdown guy. That is not Chris Conley. But we've also seen Albert Wilson be pretty productive when given the chance as well. I don't know. It's tough to rely on any of these guys for fantasy. The only one that is, I want to say, a sure thing is Tyreek Hill, and I think that right now his ADP, which is average draft position, is 27. I think that's fair, but at the same time, I'm looking at some of the other wide receivers around him. Martavis Bryant, Larry Fitzgerald. We have Stephon Diggs is right there. Pierre Garçon is right there. Jameson Crowder's right underneath him. Golden Tate's right above him. But I think just for the fact that there's such a lack of wide receivers to complement him, I think it's fair to put him at 27, even though I don't think he deserves to be at 27.
I will tell you this right now. ESPN has him at 27. I've seen him on other sites as high as 21. Everyone, if you listen to anything I say, listen to this. Sit back, and whoever is taking Tyreek Hill at the end of the second round, just sit back and laugh in their face, because this is going to be one of the worst picks in fantasy football this year. I absolutely despise taking Tyreek Hill this high. He still has some value. I'm not trying to diminish him completely. He still has some value, but he is not a top 24 guy at all whatsoever.
I might be crazy, but if I'm getting him as the 27th receiver off the board, I'm okay with that, in all honesty. It is a little early, 60.5 is his ADP on ESPN, but he has to be the number one in KC in my eyes. I feel like they're going to force touches to him. They're going to find ways to manufacture the touches for Tyreek to get. And I'm just not worried about anyone else on that team. Yeah, it's an ugly offense, in all honesty, for receivers, except Travis Kelce, but he's a tight end. But getting him at wide receiver 27, I'm okay with that.
In pretty much the fifth round, you know.
Yeah.
It's not terrible. That's why I said it's a fair assessment where it's at. It's just, it's tough. It's, I don't know if I could touch him in the fifth round. I know that you feel a little bit more comfortable with it, but sitting right there, I would be drafting him as my almost probably wide receiver two at that spot. Ooh. And I would, no, I'm saying if you took him in the fifth round, you're looking at him as a wide receiver two. Me personally, I wouldn't want him as a wide receiver two. I'd rather bank on the likes of Jameson Crowder or, you know, a Dante Moncrief later on.
Josh, you're reading my mind. Yep. Guys like Martavis Bryant drafted after him, Emmanuel Sanders, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sorry, there's no way in hell I am taking Tyreek Hill in front of guys like that.
All right.
Other than that, I guess we do need to talk about the other two positions here, which sometimes we do not. Travis Kelce, one of the big three at the tight end position, one of the guys who, you know, I would say is worthy of being drafted early. He's on the Gronk, Jordan Reed level, Greg Olsen level of someone who, you know, top five rounds. You're potentially thinking about it, Travis Kelce. Came out, you know, in the, I guess the big thing, two big things for Travis Kelce. Number one, during most league Super Bowls, he scored 33 points. So that's a monster, monster weekend, and definitely something that you want. Had a ton of games here over 10 points. That's nine games, I believe, over 10 points, which is huge for a fantasy value. But also came out at the end of the year, had some, I believe he was blaming things on officials and kind of talked a little, just kind of came off as a little immature.
He lost his cool in that playoff game.
He lost his cool, came off as immature, and just kind of looked dumb, in all honesty. So showed a little bit of weakness there, but that happens. I think back to the DeAndre Hopkins versus Cortland Finnegan, and listen, DeAndre rebounded from that. Travis Kelce can come back from this. There's no problem. He's still, like I said, I'm not taking any tight ends outside of Gronk, Reed, and Travis Kelce early in any drafts. I like Travis Kelce this year, honestly.
Yeah, for me, Kelce, he's consistent. I don't think he has that same upside as one Robert Gronkowski or Jordan Reed, mainly due to his lack of touchdowns and being in this Chiefs offense. If he was on the Patriots or the Saints, he would be my number one probably tight end, in all honesty. He's been able to stay on the field, and the way the Chiefs used him last year, that's what you want to see. Tons of catches. He had that streak of four games in a row with 100 yards, and that monster game Tim talked about in the fantasy championship. 33 fantasy points for a tight end. Absolutely unreal. He's got that type of upside, and he deserves to be taken in the fourth round.
Yeah, I'm not a huge believer in taking tight ends very early. We've seen some of the guys that have gone early. We look at Rob Gronkowski last year, right? So he went early last year, finishes number 26. He was hurt to start the year, ended up hurt to finish the year. Jordan Reed, again, another tight end taken early. Another guy that ended up getting hurt a couple of games during the season. And it's just, those are the two guys that are the guys. And Travis Kelce is now thrown himself into that elite tight end consideration. You have, I believe, Gronk on his own level right there. And then you have Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce, I believe, right underneath him. And then I group the Greg Olsen, Delanie Walker, Jimmy Graham right underneath those guys. So I think Travis Kelce is close to making his way up there. If he can stay healthy all year this year, put up another big year, I think you almost have to start considering Gronk and Kelce closer than you would have even thought about.
Travis Kelce, and I will jump the gun here a little bit, my quote-unquote bold prediction that is not that bold, with his health, with only being 27 years old, with the success that he has had, Travis Kelce is primed to have the number one fantasy tight end season of 2017.
Let's talk about the defense real quick. Let's touch on that.
All right. Go ahead and steal my thunder, Josh. That's fine by me. The defense is absolutely fantastic. What else can you say about them? They go out there 140 points last year. Week 4, negative 4 against the Steelers. Week 11, 0 points against the Buccaneers, which are obviously a garbage team, Josh. But, you know, you look at, you know, the games like the Jets, you know, scoring 2 touchdowns there with someone like Tyreek Hill on their special teams, always a special teams threat, and they have those options as well for those weapons, I should say, in the secondary to score defensive touchdowns. So what are your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs?
The most important thing about the Chiefs is their ability to score touchdowns defensively and special teams-wise. Led the league last year with 8 of those touchdowns, which is a big reason why they finished 4th overall. They're good at turning the football over as well. But if you draft this, if you draft the Chiefs, you're probably going to have to draft another defense because they play the Patriots at New England week 1. That is a terrible matchup for any defense, and you're probably not going to want to start them because, for me, that's screaming 0 or a negative point game for them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's kind of tough, but then again, at the same time, like, you kind of have to start who you draft. And but I do agree to your point. I feel like you almost do have to take 2 defenses, and that's like a wasted roster spot right there.
Tom, what was your logic for 2 defenses? Say that again.
What? Because of week 1 against the Patriots.
The Chiefs?
Yes.
Don't they play week? Oh, I'm looking at their preseason. Okay, my
you read him.
Well, see, the thing I have here shows the preseason as well. So I was a little bit confused. I was like, they don't play the Chiefs. Never mind.
It's the opening Thursday game of the season.
Neither here nor there. I agree with you. And they have actually a lot of tough games. I don't like that they play the Cowboys and the Giants on the road. The Steelers game at home. They play a lot of they have a tough schedule as well. So I agree with exactly what you're saying. I do like them, but when you're looking at, you know, defenses that you take, I mean, what's the earliest you take a defense? 13th, 14th round at the very, very earliest?
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily looking at the Chiefs just with how they start their season.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's talk about where we see the Chiefs ending up this year. Go ahead.
For me, I think they're going to falter. I don't think they're going to come close to that 12-4 record that they had last season. They had a ton of losses in free agency, really didn't add a ton of talent to that roster in general. I think they're going to finish 3rd in this division at 7-9.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow. I don't think that is far-fetched whatsoever, and I'm saying wow, but I think they're going to finish even worse than that. I have them finishing dead last in the division this year. I don't like what they have done on the offensive side of the ball. I feel like they've had some losses on the defensive side of the ball that they're going to feel. So I have them at 6-10 this year, very last in the AFC West.
I could definitely see that happening because I have them with 6 wins as well. So I could even see 5 wins, but, you know, it's whatever. At this point in time, I just don't believe in the Chiefs. So, with all that being said, before we get to our sponsors, because we're going to take our first commercial break coming up, I want to ask you guys one bold prediction that you have for the Kansas City Chiefs. Go ahead, Tim.
I have already said one, which is Travis Kelce will finish as the number 1 overall tight end in fantasy football. And number 2 I will go with is that Kareem Hunt will be the top scoring running back in their backfield in 2017.
Travis Kelce was the number 1 tight end last year, so that's not very bold, Tim.
Well, with all those other tight ends hurt, yeah, it is kind
of
bold.
In 4 of the 5 last seasons, Alex Smith has missed a game. Patrick Mahomes will start 2 games this year and create a massive quarterback controversy when he lights up the Oakland Raiders.
2 games, wow. Do you think Andy Reid is going to be the quarterback next year as well?
Andy Reid?
Alex Smith, you mean?
I'm sorry, Alex Smith. Do you think he's going to be the starting quarterback next year?
I do not think so.
No?
Yes, he will be.
Do you think because of that, your 2-game prediction here, do you think that is going to be the writing on the wall?
Yes.
That Alex Smith is done?
100%.
No, I don't think yet Patrick Mahomes is going to come in there and absolutely kill like Tom believes. He will come in there. He might show a little bit of success, but he's not the second coming.
Wow. I don't even know if I have a bold prediction because this team is so shitty. So I don't even know.
They're not shitty.
Yeah,
they're,
I'm not even.
They're a pretty good football team.
I'm going to go on a bold prediction. Chris Conley is going to be the leading wide receiver for fantasy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Tyreek Hill voted most likely to look like a chia pet in 2017.
All right,
seen that dude? Jesus Christ. All
right, we are going to take our first commercial break, everybody. Again, we are Pony Kick Sports on the WBLZ Sports.
What's up, sports fans? It's the coach, Mike Faber.
Yeah, here we go.
We got balls.
And we make up the fantasy fix every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. on WBLZSports.com.
Other shows will tell you to start David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. We told you that's who you were supposed to draft before the season started. Listen to us every week. We'll give you those fantasy picks that you can't find anywhere else to help you win your league that week.
We don't have any funny accents here. But all we do is win. Listen to us and you'll do the same. We out. Send us out. Send us out, Chris Sly, the fantasy guy.
That's all, folks. Better listen.
Doug Pepford painting and pressure washing. You know, Chad, he has over 30 years of painting experience. He's interior, exterior, commercial, or residential. Doug Pepford covers it all. Is your house looking ug? We'll call on Doug. Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361. Mention WBLZ Sports and get a special We've Got Balls discount. That's Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361.
What's up, podcast peeps? This is Brandon Reed from MyFantasySportsTalk.com. Check out myself, Dan Schalk, and Orlando Torres in the My Fantasy Podcast every Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern Time right here on WBLZSports.com. We got the primetime drive spot locked down, helping you get ready for the weekend. It's My Fantasy Podcast right here on WBLZSports.com. We got balls. Do you?
Hey, this is Webb from the 8-Bit Bros, and I gotta tell you, whether it be for your industrial, commercial, or residential needs, Gen Services is the electrical contractor for you. The Gen Services team has the expertise, commitment, and educational years to help you solve all of your electrical concerns. They have you in their best interest with helpful suggestions to accommodate your every want. Give them a call no matter the size of the job at 740-438-7173. Mention WBLZ Sports and you'll get a discount. That's Gen Services, 740-438-7173.
Hey, everybody. I'm Hayden Gibson, host of the County Fantasy Sports Podcast. We specialize in fantasy football, and it is the offseason, but we've still got the NFL draft, free agency, everything to talk about. So be sure to tune in, get that extra edge against your competition. And we're going to be talking a lot of wrestling during the offseason. So if wrestling and football intrigue you, tune in every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls. So let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let's ask, can we stay? Can you take me higher? To a place where I'm blind and see. Can you take me higher?
Hey there, everybody. We are back from our break, and,
Was that Creed?
It was Creed.
What?
Yeah. Everyone needs a little Creed in their life. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm feeling extra pumped up right now.
If it was Ultra Breed, I'd feel a little bit better, but
I'm not. I feel like we're just sellouts now. I make fun of every other fantasy show, and we come back from a freaking break to Creed.
I guess it is what it is.
I love it.
All right, we're going to change it.
So we are going to steer the ship here, and we are changing courses. We are going to be talking about fantasy and fantasy loan. We are talking quarterbacks this one. And, I think we have a consensus of the top 25 quarterbacks in fantasy. And we took all of ours, threw them all together, and that's what we got, consensus all around the board. So, yes.
Big shout out to Mike Glennon. That is Tim's number one fantasy quarterback for the season. But me and Josh did not have him ranked, so he did not end up on our list.
That's not true, but Mike Glennon, definitely the creed of this quarterback class.
So we are talking quarterbacks. Oh, my God, Mike Glennon. So we are talking quarterbacks, and you guys want to just start at number 25?
Heck yeah.
We have none other than the guy that we just talked about recently, Alex Smith for the Kansas City Chiefs.
There's nothing sexy about him right now on ESPN and 10-team leagues. He's going undrafted, which he should. You really shouldn't be relying on him whatsoever for your fantasy title sakes. You know, you're not going to win with this guy.
Yeah, Tom, you had him at 25. I can respect that. Josh, you had him all the way up at 23. That is a joke of a ranking. I did not have him in my top 25. Listen, for all the reasons we just talked about in this past hour, he has Travis Kelce. That's it. He has nothing else.
Yeah, to think about it, I probably should have put Wentz above him. And you know what? I guess I blanked during it, and I just said, oh.
And Sam Bradford, who what? Didn't he have like the best passer rating in the last like decade?
In the history of the NFL.
Oh, in the history of the NFL. Don't worry, Josh. Alex Smith's going to be better than him. Sweet mother of Jesus,
so,
no.
Next up, number 24, we have Sam Bradford.
Well, hold on. I did have Mike Glennon at 25. I just want to make sure everyone knows that. Mike Glennon, my number 25.
So number 24, we have Sam Bradford on the board there, 24th ranked quarterback.
The one thing about Bradford, I think Dalvin Cook's going to help him out tremendously. He loves checking the football down. Hopefully Stephon Diggs can stay healthy. We saw an emergence of Adam Thielen last year. Kyle Rudolph's a pretty good tight end as well. Sam Bradford doesn't turn the football over too often, but similar to Alex Smith, that offense just doesn't pass a whole lot, and they rely on that good defense to win football games. And that's what I think they're going to do this year with Sam Bradford.
We don't have a lot. And to be honest, I don't even know if we have anywhere else where we all have the same guy at the same exact ranking. Consensus.
Yep.
24th best quarterback, and it's kind of just describes who Sam Bradford is. You know, he's going to be consistent. Hopefully he's not going to throw a lot of interceptions. Let his defense carry him to the potential opportunity to compete for the NFC North.
Next up, we have Carson Wentz from the Philadelphia Eagles.
We're quite a bit lower on him than a majority of people. He's being drafted 130th overall on ESPN right now. They threw the football a lot last year. They have invested putting tons of weapons around this kid. I'm just not a believer yet. How he started the season, he looked good. He looked like the next coming of football Jesus for the Philadelphia Eagles. I just don't know if he's there right now, and I'm not a big believer in his upside overall.
I feel like he's getting drafted so high strictly because of the weapons that were added around him. He is going to be good, I believe, but not necessarily great. I had him the highest out of any of us because I do believe that he is better than some of the other guys coming before him. I had him at number 20 overall, but he does not, you know, being top 20 at the back end of the top 20 is his peak.
Next up at number 22, we have the 8th ranked quarterback from last year, Blake Bortles.
It's really hard to love Blake Bortles for me. Look, 16 interceptions last year, 6 fumbles. That almost equals the amount of passing touchdowns he had last year. A lot of negative plays for this kid. And I think the Jags are going to be a little better than last year. They won't be coming from behind as much. And that's where we've seen Blake Bortles produce a lot of his fantasy points.
Blake Bortles' mama doesn't love Blake Bortles in fantasy football this year. He is a strictly garbage time quarterback. The Jaguars are going to be better. They're going to have a real running back to help eat up a lot of clock. It's not going to work out for Blake Bortles this year. He's another guy who I believe I had him at 23 overall, so a little bit lower, but yeah, I'm not a huge Blake Bortles fan.
At 21, we have the 12th ranked quarterback from last year, and that is Andy Dalton. Crazy to think Andy Dalton with Tyler Eifert, with Joe Mixon, with AJ Green, with all those other weapons. Crazy.
I think we might be sleeping on Dalton a little bit, and I'm kind of pissed we have him at 21. You know, I had him at 20. That's where he belongs. He deserves to be up this list. Threw for over 4,000 yards last year. not too many touchdowns, but when you lose your stud receiver in A.J. Green, that is going to happen. He does score your occasional rushing touchdowns. I like Andy Dalton this year.
You say that, but you've also said in previous episodes that you believe A.J. Green is going to have a downfall, and he is slowly on his way out. So, I hear what you're saying. I agree with what Josh said to start this. We may be sleeping on Andy Dalton a little bit. Outside of the top 20 for him, I feel like maybe a little bit extreme because I feel like he's just the type of guy. Listen, he has red hair. He seems kind of boring. No one really likes Andy. Listen, I'm calling this a spade here. Fans, which is what 99% of our listeners are, they draft by players they like along with results. Dalton's results are kind of eh, and nobody likes him. So...
just plain vanilla.
Plain vanilla. You got it, player.
Next up, number 20, we have Carson Palmer.
We've seen Carson Palmer go up and down in recent years. Didn't have the greatest year last year. Quite a few turnovers. And I like the weapons. They're not the greatest. Fitz is good. I'm expecting a bounce back from Brown. And David Johnson will probably come close to 1,000 receiving yards himself. He can make a magic out of any little dump-off pass, so you have to like that. There are just so many good quarterbacks, and Palmer's just been too inconsistent for me.
You know, I have Carson Palmer a little bit higher. I think this might be his last hurrah. Like, I would not be surprised if this is the final year that we see Carson Palmer. Not saying he doesn't always try to be healthy, but he gets that this is it, right? This is it. He's got... Larry Fitzgerald doesn't have a lot left. Their wide receiver core outside of that isn't really there. They have one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the National Football League. They have a defense that can get him somewhere. If he can't do it now, Carson Palmer is not going to do it at all. I like him to have a couple of big games mixed in there this year, and I'm looking forward to watching Carson Palmer.
Our first guy in the teens, we have Joe Flacco.
I'm not even going to say anything. I'm going to let the president of his fan club talk.
Joe Money Flacco. I don't know if I am the president of his fan club, but, you know, he gets a little bit underrated, I feel like. I have him up at 17. I believe Tom, you had him at, what, 22? And Josh, you had him at 18. So it kind of makes sense that...
you're the president.
He falls here. Oh, I have to be the president. Yeah, where everyone has him. Listen... He's undervalued at times. He's not a Alex Smith type quarterback, which is, for some reason, he always gets grouped in with Alex Smith as just like a game manager. No, this kid's got some cojones on him, and he's shown the ability to go out there and make some big plays. With the weapons that have been added on the offensive side of the ball, I like Joe Flacco. Even with losing one Kenneth Dixon, they still have Terrence West, they still have Danny Woodhead. Woo! Which is going to be a fantastic check down for him. Going to be someone who he can fall in love with. You add someone like, I'm sorry, the guy from Kansas City.
Macklin.
Thank you, Jeremy Macklin. And you keep the weapons that they already had. I like Joe Flacco this year. 17 might be too low. He might be a top 15 quarterback this year.
Next up, we have Tyrod Taylor at number 18.
Mr. Tyrod Taylor, he makes his money and he makes his fantasy points via rushing the football. 580 rushing yards last year, 6 touchdowns. Not the greatest passer in the world, but Buffalo's going to try to run the football as much as possible, and Tyrod Taylor is a big part of that. He's pretty consistent, not going to win you tons of weeks. This man was 9th ranked quarterback last year. We're underselling his importance and his value as a fantasy quarterback.
Former backup to one Joe Flacco as well.
And now a better fantasy quarterback than one Mr. Joe Flacco, Tim.
I feel like Tyrod Taylor is extremely overrated, which is hard to believe because he's barely rated at all.
Well, you got to think right now that he is probably the number 2 rushing option on that team, right?
Heck yeah.
You have LeSean McCoy. You have no real proven running back behind him besides Jonathan Williams. And you have Tyrod Taylor. So I think Tyrod Taylor's value only goes up this year.
It's a team that doesn't really have a direction, is aging and getting younger at the same time. It's a perfect storm for a terrible season, and I do not like Tyrod Taylor at all.
Oh, you're an idiot.
All right.
Next up, we have Ryan Tannehill.
You know what's absolutely crazy? Tim has Ryan Tannehill above Mr. Tyrod Taylor. When's the last time Tannehill's finished ninth ranked quarterback in fantasy? Never. I don't mind Tannehill finished 27th last year, but I do like the Miami Dolphins system. I like the coaching staff. I like Mr. Jay Ajayi. I like the wide receiver options. Devontae Parker is going to be a stud, and he will be the new number one wideout for the Miami Dolphins. But I just really don't want to rely on him to be my fantasy quarterback.
Second year in Adam Gase's system. That is all I have to say. Ryan Tannehill will be a fantastic quarterback this year.
Next up, we have number 16, Eli Manning.
It's tough to love Eli. He puts up good numbers, good amount of yards, over 4,000 last year, 26 touchdowns, -9 rushing yards. That's pretty good, right, Tim?
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
No rushing touchdowns. I like the weapons they've added. Evan Ingram, I think that's going to add a lot to that offense. He's got one of the best wide receivers in Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. Added Brandon Marshall, got Sterling Shepard. They got tons of weapons there. I hope that offensive line can protect Mr. Eli, and I hope he stops making those boneheaded mistakes that he always tends to do.
I absolutely bash the Giants for not addressing the number one issue that they had. I still had Eli, I believe, higher than both of you. Yes, I did. I had him at 14 overall. I still believe, especially with the weapons that they added, they had a strong offense before with no running game. The weapons that they added, it's going to be... Their defense is good, but I still think that they're going to have to be throwing the ball a lot, and I believe Eli Manning's the type of quarterback who he's going to throw a lot of interceptions, but he's going to put up some big numbers.
Manning's only finished in the top 10 once in the past 10 years.
Insane.
That's crazy to think of.
Yep.
Also, another funny story about Eli Manning and his rushing abilities. There was one time I was looking at betting on his rushing total, which was 1.5 yards. 1.5. And I bet on it and got -2 on that day. So, needless to say, I was not happy.
Bet the over?
Yeah, I bet the over. I won. Yeah, it was not very smart. You know what I said? It's time. He's due. And you know what? Stupid and shame on me. I'm an idiot. Next up, number 15, we have Dak Prescott.
Dak had a very special season for the Cowboys last year. Only 4 interceptions. The Cowboys did a good job of not putting a lot on the rookie quarterback's plate. But running the football and not passing the football a whole lot is Dallas's MO. I think they're going to continue to do that. I think they're going to be a winning football team this year, and that means they're going to give Ezekiel Elliott the football and rely on him to carry this team. Yeah, he finished pretty high last year, top 10, and we have him ranked this low. It might be a little bit of a slap in the face, but I just don't know if he can continue to play at that elite level of not turning the football over. And he only passed the football 459 times last year. That is not a lot, and it's hard for quarterbacks that throw that little to produce crazy numbers.
I guess we will have to wait and see how many games that Dak Prescott's going to be able to hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott, because it's not looking right now like it's going to be all 16 games. But with that being said,
just making stuff up
to me,
again.
I don't know what kind of Dak Prescott we're gonna get? What's he gonna evolve into? Is he gonna evolve into Alex Smith, or is he gonna evolve into Joe Flacco? Because I think those are his two realistic options right now. He has a great running game, but as a quarterback in the NFL, those are his two routes. I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, the biggest thing is gonna see where Zeke is, and I only think it's going to be a game or two. I don't think the talk of 6 games, I think that's outrageous. I don't think we'll see that. 4 games, I think, is still even a stretch. Maybe 3 if they really want to really give him something. But then again, we keep saying all this, and we don't even know exactly what is going on. So it is what it is right now, and it's all a moot point until we figure out exactly what's going on with him. So, next up, number 14, Marcus Mariota.
Mariota's one of the brightest stars at the quarterback position in the NFL. He's heading into his third year. He's gotten better each year. He doesn't turn the football over too much. Pretty similar to Dak Prescott. He's effective at running the football. Had over 300 rushing yards last season. That's 30 big fantasy points right there. It makes a big difference. But two seasons, he's been injured twice. Not many people talk about that. He's had trouble staying healthy. And the Titans were 25th in passing yards last season. That's a football team they're going to try to be. And if they're as good as people think they're going to be, they're probably going to be passing the football less than that this year. Only 504 passing attempts last season. That's one of the lower marks in the NFL for a team.
They have two legitimate, I think, three-down running backs on their team right now. But they also have a ton of weapons for Marcus Mariota to throw to. Not sure he has the defense behind him to make the, you know, to make that team as good as they think it's going to be. So maybe he gets a ton of opportunities to whip the ball around. But I think that this position is, it makes sense. This is the most confident I am, I think, out of any quarterback. That we're predicting right now, because he's going to be middle of the pack, Marcus Mariota.
You know what I want to know is, how the hell do you give a team a bye week on week 13 when there was no bye week even in week 12 last year of the NFL season?
That's, I just pretty think that's interesting. Crazy. Do the Titans have that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just think it's absolutely nuts. How do you give a team a bye week there and then they only have four games left in the season? I just think it's outrageous.
If I'm numb, I mean, hell, maybe you like it. Maybe you're happy about it. If you have a great first part of the season, a little rest up before, you know, the final push for the playoffs, it might work out in their favor.
Number 13, I think this is actually kind of a, I don't want to say a slap in the face, but Russell Wilson is our 13th ranked quarterback.
He finished 10th last year, and we've seen him finish in the top five before. But that was mainly due to his rushing yards. We saw those yards go down quite a bit last season. Only 259 rushing yards and one rushing touchdown. I don't think he can be elite unless he's coming close to that 600, 700 rushing yards and more than one rushing touchdown. Russell Wilson, he's a good quarterback. They've added a lot of running back help, though, and hopefully they can find one. But this team wants to run the football, pretty similar to Dak and Marcus Mariota. I don't think his upside is as high as the guys who are above him.
You know, honestly, I had a hard time putting Russell Wilson in my top 15. I didn't even want to put him that high. And I know that could be considered a slap in the face. This is a guy who I believe he had multiple years in a row as a top 10 quarterback. But with that being said, they have no offensive line whatsoever. Their weapons are questionable at best with the 45 running backs that they have. I just do not like Russell Wilson at all this year.
Next up, we have quarterback Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions.
Stafford finished 7th last year in scoring, which is pretty good. A solid year under one Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator for the Lions. One of my favorite names in the NFL today. Jim Bob, he's done a lot of good things for Matthew Stafford. He's done a great job at getting Stafford's interceptions down. He's making him less of a gunslinger and more of a legit quarterback in the NFL. They throw a lot of check down passes, a lot of screens, a lot of dump offs to the running backs. But it's good for Stafford, and we've seen him get better as a fantasy quarterback. He struggled a lot, though, in the second half of the season. Hopefully, he looks more like that first half of the season. And if he does, he could be scratching the top five this year.
I could listen to you talk about Jim Bob Cooter all night, Tom. I know how much you love him, and I love Matthew Stafford. I think the biggest thing for his game is going to be if the Lions can develop any type of real running game. That's going to be the thing that will help him the most. They've had none in the last couple of years. You know, they've had guys come in and, you know, be somewhat effective, but implement a running game that is effective, that helps implement a tight end game in Eric Ebron that can be huge. That helps everything. It's a snowball effect. I would absolutely love to see Matthew Stafford get that huge year, you know, that top 5 year that people kind of expect regularly out of Matthew Stafford, which is why I had him personally in my top 10.
Yeah, the running game is a very, very important part where the Lions do need to implement it. But the other part that they need to do is they need to catch the goddamn ball. They had 32 drops for Matthew Stafford. That was the most in the NFL right there.
I think that should be their team slogan, catch the goddamn ball.
It should. I mean, if they caught a good amount of balls, I mean, he still had a good passing completion percentage-wise, but you got to catch the ball and let Matthew Stafford throw it and just give your team opportunities to put more and more yardage on the board. Next up, number 11, Ben Roethlisberger.
It's kind of crazy how much of a different player Big Ben is at home compared to when he is on the road. Last three seasons, he has averaged 332 yards, 2.8 touchdowns, and under one interception a game at home. On the road, he's averaged 268 yards, one touchdown, and one interception per game. That's a big-time difference. Crazy home-and-away splits. Big Ben, in my eyes, is no better than a spot start. You're going to start him when he's at home, and on the road, you're just going to bench him. You can't afford drafting Big Ben and expecting him to be your week-to-week starter. The one positive, when Martavis Bryant has been in the lineup, he's averaged over two more points per game. He is back, he's healthy, and he is ready to help dominate for the Steelers this year. I like where we have Big Ben, though.
I will tell you from experience, listen to me, listen to Tom, listen to Josh. I had Big Ben last year, and if not for a trade for one Derek Carr, I would have been in big trouble. You have to have that second guy. Big Ben's the type of guy who is going to have big weeks for you. I believe it was a Monday Night Football game last year where he had three passing touchdowns in the first quarter. And then there was the game where in like week 14 where he had 1.5 points with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, ended up scoring me over 25. He's that type of quarterback. Edge of your seat, going to be scared, going to be nervous, but with all the weapons, he's going to have some big games for you as well. You have to have both, and you have to be confident enough in your fantasy self that you know when to sit him and when to start him.
The last 7 years, how many times has he been a top 10 quarterback?
Once.
In fantasy.
Twice.
One time.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's why you guys should listen to me.
Well, I just couldn't agree with you.
Breaking into the top 10, we have quarterback Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins.
He's in the top 10 because of me. I had him as my sixth quarterback. I love Kirk Cousins this year. I am not worried about the weapons that he has lost. I think the weapons he gained are better and better suit his game overall. Last year, he was very close to throwing for over 5,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. He gets those rushing touchdowns as well. And for me, this is a tryout year for Kirk Cousins to the rest of the league. If he has another year like this or even better, he has a chance to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. There are tons of teams that need quarterbacks, and the Redskins are morons for letting this situation get to where it's at right now.
Well, he's also in the top 10 because of me, because I have him ranked number 10 overall. So I agree with you, Tom. I feel like, and we talked about this at length when we talked about the Redskins, he is a big F you, I'm the man type guy. And the Redskins have... He just turned down an offer that, you know, the Redskins thought was fair, which essentially was paying him like a couple $100,000 more over 2 years than he would get out of the franchise tag. And what do they call it after you're outside of the franchise tag?
Transition
tag. Thank you. The transition tag. Barely above that. Like if he would do just what he's doing right now, he makes like, you know, $52.6 million. And if he does it, you know, would have signed the deal, he would have made $52.8 million. So basically the Redskins saying you are what you are. Kirk Cousins is a big F you guy. He loves getting fired up and proving people wrong. I love Kirk Cousins this year.
Also, the guy that was drafted on the same team as RG3 and after RG3. So mm-hmm. Kind of crazy on the road that he is. Kind of walked, you know.
And RG3 trying out for some teams now.
Chargers.
Yep. Next up, we have number 9, Jameis Winston. Finished last year at number 16.
We might be a little higher on Jameis Winston than most so-called fantasy experts. That's because we're right. We are smarter than them. Jameis Winston, the arrow is pointing up for this kid. It's going in his third year, and you got to look at the weapons they are putting around this kid. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, you got Cameron Brate, a good core running backs. They are doing everything in their power to make this kid a success. He needs to get better at stopping the turnovers. 18 interceptions last year, 6 fumbles lost. He needs to get better at that. And if he can do that, he's got a chance, top 5 potential, all the talent in the world, and there's a reason he was drafted number 1 overall. I absolutely love Jameis Winston this season.
Big to see. Tom and I both had Jameis Winston at number 8, And Josh is a Bucks fan. He had him at number 10. Not only the weapons that they're putting around him, but his legs alone. It's going to lead to a lot of fantasy point opportunity. I hate and Jameis Winston and also love him at the same time.
Yeah, I'm a big Jameis Winston fan, but at the same time, I have to be realistic with it. And I think with the Doug Martin coming back from his suspension after his three games, I think that's going to play a big role into it. And I think where some of those touchdowns to Brait in the red zone, I think that's where we're going to see Doug Martin take some of those touchdowns away. So that's why I got Jameis Winston where I do have him. Next up, number 8, Derek Carr.
Mr. Derek Carr, we talked about him the other day on the show. I like Carr. A lot of good weapons there in Oakland. He's been getting better every year. That's what you want from your quarterback. I'm expecting big things from him. Hopefully he could stay healthy. He's got a very solid O-line from a good run game. And him and Amari Cooper, it's going to be special, and it starts this year.
There is no team I have on higher alert for a letdown season than I do the Oakland Raiders. And I love them. But with that being said, they have a running back who's returning who you don't know what's going to happen. They have a quarterback coming back off of injury. They have a lot of expectations this year. There's a lot of it, and that's kind of the first time they have those things. So I don't know. I like Derek Carr a lot. Like I said, he did good things for me last year on my fantasy team, but I believe I had him the lowest in the fantasy rankings.
Next up, number 7, Matt Ryan.
Mr. Matt Ryan, last year, number 2 quarterback, and me and Josh are kind of down on him. We both had him at number 9. I'm expecting the loss of Kyle Shanahan to be a big deal. I'm expecting a Super Bowl hangover, and I'm not expecting Matt Ryan to have the type of year he had last year. Last year was the first time he put up elite fantasy numbers. We've seen this year in and year out when a quarterback puts up numbers that's not very normal to his career pace, that they struggle the following year. Look at Cam Newton in 2015 when he was the number 1 quarterback and then dropped back to reality as the number 16th quarterback.
I had Matt Ryan the highest. I have him up as my number 3 ranked fantasy quarterback this year. I don't know if you saw, Matt Ryan came out and said Kyle Shanahan took far too long calling plays throughout, and actually kind of bashed him for the way he called plays in the Super Bowl. Rightfully so. I think Kyle Shanahan is more of the issue and not so much the factor of why the Falcons had so much success. I love Matt Ryan this year.
Well, Kyle Shanahan wasn't throwing the ball in the Super Bowl, and Matt Ryan was. So that's all
I got
to say about
that. Who called passing
plays? It doesn't matter.
It sure does.
Matt Ryan was the guy throwing the ball, and, you know, it's kind of crazy to think that a guy that finished number 2 last year, we're going to peg him down to number 7, but I think some of these guys have more opportunity this year. So next up, and then one of those guys, number 6, Philip Rivers.
I was kind of shocked when I put my rankings in. I had him at 7. I thought I was going to be the highest, and you both had him at 6, which I like. He finished at 6 last year, finished 14th overall, though. I just really like the weapons they added in LA, the LA Chargers. I like the offensive line upgrades. Hopefully Mike Williams is playing. There's been reports that he's not. He's saying he's fine, and I think there's going to be an emergence of Hunter Henry. Hopefully Keenan Allen can stay healthy. The arrow's pointing up for Mr. Pip Rivers. Needs to get those turnovers down, though. Way too many last year.
Mark it on your fantasy list right now. Mike Wallace is not going to play in the 2000.
Mike Williams,
I'm sorry. not going to play in the 2017 season. But with that being said, Philip Rivers has been brought into this world for two reasons: to make babies and throw touchdown passes. And he's already made, I believe, about 13 babies, and it's time to throw a bunch more touchdown passes. I am not a Pip Rivers fan. I like to make fun of him and bash his whining, complaining self as much as I can. With that being said, I feel like this is going to be another big year for Philip Rivers. Potentially top 5 performance with Keenan Allen coming back, with some of the growth they saw in some of their other wide receivers while Keenan Allen was out last year. And if Mike Williams does decide to play, it's that much better for him.
If Mike Williams is playing, my ranking stays the same. If he is not, Phil Rivers drops down for me a little bit.
So. Oh, I'll agree with that. It definitely drops a little bit.
I just feel like he's just that big of a weapon. So next up, number 5, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, man, He dropped last year. People were drafting him in the second, third round. We were telling people not to do that. Could have been the Super Bowl hangover. He also had an injury to his shoulder at the end of the year. He got banged up quite a bit. I like the weapons, though, they put around him. Curtis Samuel and his mom got added to the team. You know, Curtis Samuel got dropped off at camp by his mom, which is an awesome story.
Oh, and you got that text today when I texted to you?
It was like 2 days ago.
Oh, right? You did get it?
Yeah, I told you I did.
Oh, okay.
Then you got Christian McCaffrey. Ted Ginn, the wasted wide receiver that he is gone, which is only going to help them. Hopefully, Kelvin Benjamin can get back to around 240 instead of his 290 off-season weight. I like Cam Newton this year. I'm expecting his rushing yards to go up and his passing yards to go up.
Cam Newton, if not anything else, is one tough SOB. Again, I like to make fun of people for being crybabies. Cam's not that. I feel like did a very good job last year of handling how well he was kind of beat to a pulp. Made a few comments here or there, met with league officials, but didn't come out and like overly, you know, complain about it. And I respect that. So I do believe that this year he's going to get some more of those calls. He's going to have his team ready. And Cam Newton, when he's on the top of his game, is a top five quarterback.
Cam Newton was one of those guys that we said bust last year. And, man, were we correct on that one. So don't want to, you know, give us too much props, but we did it. We had a good call on that one. A lot of people called us crazy for that.
Yep.
A lot of other shows. Number four, Drew Brees.
In the last 11 seasons, Drew Brees hasn't finished worse than six. Overall at the quarterback spot. That's why I had him at three. That's why I think he deserves to be at three. He's consistent. He's on an offense that throws the football. Michael Thomas is an emerging star for that team. I like the weapons. Mr. Alvin Kamara is going to add a new dimension to that offense for the Saints. You got Willie Snead, Tim's favorite wide receiver, Ted Ginn, joining the team. Drew Brees deserves to be higher than four. I hate you, Tim, for ruining Drew Brees' ranking.
I put him down there specifically because of all, you've said it numerous times, how he hasn't been out of the top six and blah, blah, blah. The Saints are going in a little bit of a different direction, I believe. I don't believe that you're going to see the, you know, Drew Brees whipping the ball around, you know, 50 times a game like you've seen over the past few years. They have a couple of guys on their team now to slow the game down. Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson are going to be able to slow the game down, keep their defense off the field for a little bit, which they haven't been able to do, and you know, make Drew Brees more effective by doing so. Drew Brees is still going to be a fantastic quarterback, but he's going to be a fantastic quarterback just outside of the top six. They have got, you know, guys who are still good like Michael Thomas, Josh's love. They have
Ted Ginn.
One Ted Ginn Jr. Who, you know, I like, but they're not going to be that passing, whipping the ball all around the field 60 times a game.
And that's why they have a bunch of running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And that's where Drew Brees is going to make his bread and butter. So next up, number three, Andrew Luck.
I'm not hating on this ranking. I think Luck deserves to be top four, in all honesty. Three of the past 4 years, he has been a top four quarterback. The 1 year he wasn't was because he spent most of the year injured. Last year, he missed a game, still finishes quarterback four. Colts like to throw the football. They're going to rely on Andrew Luck. He has started throwing. His shoulder is recovered. I have no issues. I'm not worried at all with Andrew Luck starting this season. Might be a little rusty, but he'll come out and put up top fantasy quarterback numbers this year.
Josh, does Tom not yet understand that the Tim giveth and the Tim taketh away? He gets mad because Drew Brees is not in the top three or top four quarterbacks, and yet now he wants to, oh, I'm so happy Andy Luck is top three. Why is Andrew Luck there? Because the Tim giveth him that ranking, Tom. I am the whole reason why, because I dropped Drew Brees where he rightfully belongs. Andrew Luck is a great quarterback. have no doubt in my mind. I hope he has the weapons around him. I'm hoping Eugene can keep his tiny ass healthy for a full season, and Andrew Luck understands that his internal organs need to stay intact in order to play 16 games in the NFL. I like the Colts. I don't love them like you, but I like them, and I do hope that they're able to go out there and put on a great season.
The top two guys, me and Tom, we agreed with each other.
Tom and I.
You were opposite. Number two, we have Tom Brady. And number one, we have Aaron Rodgers.
I just don't understand where Tom Brady goes out there after missing four games last year and still puts out that type of season. And you think in a full year, having more weapons now than he did the year prior, having a real wide receiver that he hasn't had since Randy Moss, is going to fall behind Aaron Rodgers? No, sir. No way does that happen. He is the best quarterback. He is the best player. I do not like the Patriots. I'm sorry, Tom. Don't tell your wife. I hate the New England Patriots. With that said, I respect the living shit out of the New England Patriots. And Tom Brady is the best quarterback we have seen in our lifetime.
Tom Brady might be the best real NFL quarterback, but fantasy-wise, look, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, most likely their yards and their passing touchdowns will be pretty close. Are we in agreement with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
The difference, Aaron Rodgers gets rushing yards. Last two seasons, he's had over 350, I believe. He scores rushing touchdowns. That's what makes the difference for me. It's super close. I don't think you can get wrong with either of these guys, but I'm giving the edge to one Aaron Rodgers because of his rushing stats.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with it either. I think it's pretty close. And regardless of whoever you have one and whoever you have two at this spot, I think you're okay with it. Me personally, I'd probably rather have Rodgers. Tim, you'd rather have Brady. Yep. It is what it is at that spot. So, anything else with the quarterbacks?
That is it.
That's all I got. All
right, cool. So, everybody, we are going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more fantasy and go with tight ends. So, be prepared.
What's up, sports fans? It's the coach, Mike Faber.
This is Chris Sly, the Fantasy Guy.
And we make up the Fantasy Fix every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. on WBLZSports.com.
Other shows will tell you to start David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. We told you that's who you were supposed to draft before the season started. Listen to us every week. We'll give you those fantasy picks that you can't find anywhere else to help you win your league that week.
We don't have any funny accents here. All we do is win. Listen to us and you'll do the same. We out. Send us out. Send us out, Chris Sly, the Fantasy Guy.
That's all, folks. Better listen.
Doug Pepford painting and pressure washing. You know, Chad, he has over 30 years of painting experience. He's interior, exterior, commercial, or residential. Doug Pepford covers it all. Is your house looking ugh? We'll call on Doug. Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361. Mention WBLZ Sports and get a special We've Got Balls discount. That's Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361.
What's up, podcast peeps? This is Brandon Reed from MyFantasySportsTalk.com. Check out myself, Dan Schalk, and Orlando Torres in the My Fantasy Podcast every Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern Time right here on WBLZSports.com. We got the primetime drive spot locked down, helping you get ready for the weekend. It's My Fantasy Podcast right here on WBLZSports.com. We got balls. Do you?
Hey, this is Webb from the 8-Bit Bros, and I gotta tell you, whether it be for your industrial, commercial, or residential needs, Gen Services is the electrical contractor for you. The Gen Services team has the expertise, commitment, and educational years to help you solve all of your electrical concerns. They have you in their best interest with helpful suggestions to accommodate your every want. Give them a call no matter the size of the job at 740-438-7173. Mention WBLZ Sports and you'll get a discount. That's Gen Services, 740-438-7173.
Hey, everybody. I'm Hayden Gibson, host of the County Fantasy Sports Podcast. We specialize in fantasy football, and it is the off season, but we've still got the NFL draft, free agency, everything to talk about. So be sure to tune in, get that extra edge against your competition, and we're going to be talking a lot of wrestling during the off season. So If wrestling and football intrigue you, tune in every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls. So let's go there. Let's make our escape. Come on, let's go there. Let's ask, can we stay? Can you take me higher? To a place where blind men see. Can you take me higher?
Oh, how I love Creed.
Can you take me higher?
I just like the fact. I like the fact that that is the very end of the commercial. I guess. Right?
I like how it's like, we've got balls. Can you take me high? It's like, all right, guys. I don't think this is the message we're trying to get out here. I don't know.
So we are gonna move on to the tight ends, and What do we want to do? What number of tight end do we want to start out at?
Let's do top 12 today.
Top 12?
Is that all right?
Top 12, yeah, that makes sense. The starters.
Yeah.
Give me the starters.
Sounds good. We'll start off with that. We have number 12, Eric Ebron from the Lions.
I am pissed that he is this low. He should be way higher. Eric Ebron, he's getting better each and every year. Still young. Former first-round pick. It seems like he's been around forever in my eyes. The Lions lost one of their biggest red zone targets last season, Anquan Boldin, and they really didn't bring anyone in to replace him. That's 8 touchdowns that they need to make up, ton of targets. I think that's going to go to Eric Ebron. They brought in blocking tight ends to take that role away from Ebron, and I think he's going to be used primarily as a tight end. Last season, he was top 5 in yards per game, which is an impressive stat. He has missed time, but I think the arrow is pointing up for one Mr. Eric Ebron.
Tom is absolutely right. Eric Ebron has every opportunity this year to come out and be a top 10 tight end. With that being said, he could also come out again, have another Eric Ebron-esque year, and never be heard from again. It's possible that...
That's very unlikely, Tim.
Well, it's not very unlikely. What has he done to wow you in his fantasy career thus far? Not much. There hasn't been much to write home about. And if he has another year this year like he's had in the past, the Lions aren't going to give him another chance. I don't care what pick they spent on.
He has finished top 15 the last 2 years, so it's not terrible. It's not great by any means, but... You know, he's improving, I guess.
He needs to catch touchdowns. That's it. He gets the yards. He gets the receptions. He needs touchdowns.
With Boldin gone, there is definitely that opportunity. Next up, we have number 11, Kyle Rudolph. Man, nuts that we have the number two ranked guy from last year at that spot.
He is only the number 2 tight end because of his monster game week 17 that no one cares about, because no one in their right mind who knows anything about fantasy has their championship game in week 17, but Espen counts that. It shouldn't, but he still had a solid year, tons of games in double digits. He's the perfect weapon for Sam Bradford, a lot of short dump-off passes. He likes relying on his tight ends. But he had impressive numbers and 132 targets. I don't know if that's going to happen again. When a tight end gets a little over 100, that's a good year for them. Kelsey, I believe, was only at like 113 last year, and Rudolph blew him away.
You know what I want? I want our intern Joey Stats to go and make a ranking system for eliminating week 17. So just 15 weeks, the weeks that matter for fantasy football, and make fantasy rankings then. To Tom's point, it doesn't really make sense for them to have a ranking system based off of 17 weeks when really, I would say 90% of the fantasy community doesn't utilize week 17 whatsoever. So Joey Stats, our lovely intern, get me a coffee and get me those stats.
Next up, the guy that finished number 10 last year, Martellus Bennett.
Bennett's been pretty lucky. Last season played with Tom Brady. Now he's playing with the number 1 quarterback in fantasy football, Mr. Aaron Rodgers. Tim's favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. I'm kind of indifferent on Bennett. He's a good talent, good blocking tight end. But when's the last time the Packers had a legit awesome tight end in that system. It just doesn't happen much. Rodgers likes to throw to those receivers. He likes to target them in the red zone. It might change this year, but I'm not investing super high draft capital on Bennett, and I don't think he should be drafted as high as some people are taking him.
I think Martellus Bennett is a prime bust prospect. I will not be taking him unless there is no better option late in my draft.
Next up, Tyler Eifert, a guy that seemingly cannot stay healthy.
Yeah, he's yet to play a full season in the NFL. Came close his rookie year, but missed one game. He's had one great year in fantasy in 2015 where he had 13 touchdowns in 13 games. That's what he does. He scores touchdowns. But he's played in 15 games, one game, 13 games, and then 8 games last year. All he is a touchdown, feast or famine type option for the Bengals. But Andy Dalton, that redheaded ginger, weird-looking dude, likes throwing him the football for some reason. I just wish he could stay healthy. I wish he went to a school not like Notre Dame that teaches toughness to these kids.
Wow, don't really think that's appropriate. But nevertheless, he's going to be floating around 10 touchdowns. Not sure how many games he's going to play this year. But I would say around 10 touchdowns, 800 yards, definitely a top 10 tight end.
Next up, Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry is another one of my guys. Him and Eric Ebron will both be on my teams a lot this year. The Chargers, they're notorious for getting tight ends, touchdowns. Pip Rivers loves throwing them the football inside the red zone. Henry had 8 last year, pretty impressive for a rookie. And I think the job is going to be his. Antonio Gates is old. He's like 120 in football years. That's not good. Dude could barely walk. And tight ends tend to break out year 2. That's what Hunter Henry is going to do this year.
You got anything to say about Hunter?
Yeah, I was going to say he's also my guy. I feel like he can be. No, he's my guy. I feel like he has top 5 potential. I had him at number 7 overall. Breakout year for Hunter Henry this year.
Number 7 for us, number 5 last year, tight end Delanie Walker of the Tennessee Titans.
Delanie's been consistent the past few years, and you gotta like that consistency. He's not going to win you a ton of weeks, but he's going to be there and put up probably top 5 numbers. The only thing that scares me, everyone's expecting the Titans to be better. I'm expecting them to be a better football team, coming close to 10, maybe even 11 wins. That means they're going to be running the football more, relying less on the passing game. In my eyes, that's what they want to do. So there's a chance his targets and receptions go down, especially with the weapons that they have added to that system.
I struggled to put Delanie Walker into my top 10. I agree completely. He's aging. They've added a lot of weapons. But it almost gives me like the Antonio Gates feel from like 2 years ago when you're like, oh, he's going to be done. And then he goes out there and he puts up another decent year. You know, that might happen for a little bit here.
Number 6, Zach Ertz.
Ertz has had back-to-back 100-plus targets, 70 receptions, and over 800 yards last 2 seasons. Pretty impressive numbers. Been a reliable tight end in PPR formats. It's tough, though. I keep wanting to rank this guy higher, but the usage in the red zone is what scares me. They've added a big physical running back in LeGarrette Blount, which to me is showing that they're probably going to want to run the football when they're close to the goal line. And they also added a big-bodied wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey, who's good at going up and getting the football. I could see his touchdowns remaining lower, and he's not going to be elite until those go up. And I don't think it's
going to
happen.
This is going to be a situation where the addition of big names, the addition of stars, LeGarrette Blount, Alshon Jeffrey only helps when Zach Ertz, if he can keep his health where it needs to be, he's going to be a top 5 tight end this year.
We're getting into some of the higher end tight ends here, and number 5, Greg Olsen from the Panthers.
Olsen's been another one of those guys who's just consistent. He plays all the time. He doesn't get injured. He's a team friendly guy, and he's going to do that again this year. I don't know if his targets will stay the same. 127, that's a lot for a tight end. 80 receptions, that's a lot for a tight end. And over 1,000 yards. He'll remain in this borderline elite category, though. His touchdowns, I don't think they're going to be going up too much. Only had 3 last year, but 5 maybe the max. They got a lot of new weapons there in Carolina, but he's still that old reliable target for one Cameron Newton.
Listen, he is the definition of a company man. he came out and said after the Panthers, you know, fired their GM and then rehired their old GM that they fired for, the GM that they fired, came out and said, hey, you know what, I wanted to do contract talks, but it doesn't seem appropriate right now. We'll talk about it at the end of the season. He has a lot going on personally with everything going on with his brother that you two gentlemen don't believe have anything to do with Greg Olsen.
Nope.
But I'm sorry, if it's your brother, you're thinking about it. That is why I have him just outside of the top five at number six.
Crazy to think that he finished last year number three with only three total touchdowns.
Yep.
Next up, number four, Jimmy Graham.
Kind of shocked he had the year he had last year. The patellar tendon injury, that's normally one of the hardest injuries to come back from. And Jimmy looked like his old self. He's not playing in that high-powered New Orleans Saints offense, but he's still one of the top pass catchers for the Seattle team. Had a couple big weeks last year where he absolutely won the game for you. Close to the 1,000 yard, had six touchdowns. Hoping his targets and receptions can go up a little bit. I just don't know if they're going to be able to in that Seattle system where they prefer to run the football as much as possible.
I was happy. I thought I was reaching a little bit with Jimmy Graham. So I was happy to see that Josh and I were on the same page and Tom was right there with us. He had him at five overall. So I was real happy to see Jimmy Graham here. I really hope he does continue to have this. I've always liked him going back to his days in New Orleans. So hope he can keep it going, and we see Jimmy Graham have a big year.
Some of the elite guys, and I, at this point in time, I feel like you could have had any three in any order right here.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Kelce is number three on our list right here. Let's talk about him.
Kelce, the number one option receiving the football in Kansas City. Not many of these tight ends you could say that about. He's probably going to lead the team in receptions and yards. Again, I wish his touchdowns were higher. If he could come close to 8 to 10, he would be elite, and we'd probably be talking about drafting him in the second round because he would be creating a huge advantage for you. But he's going to remain being drafted in the 4th, 5th round and be that reliable tight end number 3 like he's being drafted.
The number one overall tight end last year in fantasy sports due to everyone else being injured, right? So you saw a little bit of character stuff with him, but a guy 27 years old, prime of his career, the essentially lone target in the red zone. Obviously, Kelsey's there as well, but there's no wide receivers there to take anything away from him. They don't necessarily have red zone running backs, so give me Travis Kelce all day long. He might be my favorite tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I could easily see myself moving Kelce up to number two or number one by the time the season starts, just for the fact that there is so much lack of competition to receive the ball from those wide receivers. Number two, we have none other than Jordan Reed from the Washington Redskins.
I have Reed as my number two tight end, and sometimes I just ask myself why. This dude can't stay healthy. He's never appeared in more than 14 games, missed 4 games last year, but still finished tight end number 9. But when he's healthy, he can win you a week. He had games 28.3 last year, 24.9, 31.5. Absolutely crazy. This Redskins offense runs through him, and that's what makes him so viable. And he's got that chance to score double-digit touchdowns.
Can't stay healthy, sometimes makes poor decisions, but at the end of the day, like Tom said, he scores your fantasy team points and can win you a week. That's why he's number two.
Former quarterback in college, yep, too. It's crazy to think of some of these guys that have been former quarterbacks. Him, Edelman, Terrell Pryor, a couple other guys. Rob Gronkowski, number one on our list.
He just misses so much time. Definitely probably the biggest boomer bust player in fantasy football. If he is healthy, he's worth a second-round pick, maybe even a late first-round pick. Creates that big of an advantage. You look at the games like he played and he was 100% healthy last year. There was only 4 of them, but 15.9 points, 29.2, 19.3, and 21.9. Absolutely insane for a tight end. I just want to see this dude stay healthy, and when he is healthy and he's on your team, you're winning the championship straight up.
He's Gronk, right? That's all you can say. He's Gronk. He goes out there. He dominates the game. He's one of the best tight ends ever.
I totally agree. And it's I just, again, like to Tom's point, I just want to see him healthy. If he is healthy, then my God, I mean, we've seen it before. Not completely healthy, but we've seen it where he goes on a tear. And that little 4-game stretch he had there was completely ridiculous. And, you know, if you're getting that production out of your tight end, then not bad at all. But out of all those top three guys, which one would you rather have out of those three?
I would take Kelce if I had to take one.
I'd take Gronk, just his sheer upside. I feel like if I get him in the third round, I'm probably just going to take that risk. And because if he's healthy, my team's going to be almost unstoppable.
I don't want to go boom or bust on my season by taking a tight end. And that's what you're doing by drafting a Gronk or Jordan Reed that high. You're saying boom or bust for your season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point right there. Because you're only getting your, what, eight games probably at the most? Uh-oh. Maybe a couple more?
Well, I mean, ideally not. But that's what, I mean, you're saying if you don't get that, you know, 15 games at least, 16 games out of your guy, out of your tight end, then you're essentially, you're blowing your season.
That's very true. All right, guys, anything else?
That's all I got.
That's it.
All right, everybody, that's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed the first on-air of Pony Keg Sports on the WBLZ Sports Network, I guess, right? Radio
station.
We've
got balls.
We've got balls. So hope you guys enjoyed, and hope you stay along for the ride for weeks to come. So until next time,
peace out, mother trucker!